The scripture readings this morning are brief and to the point. The Old Testament reading is Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 3. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child, whom he put among them, and said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me."
Well, I have the pleasure of introducing Norm Bonk. Norm has been in ministry for 53 years. And every time I talk with Norm, he's doing something neat, Bible colleges in Asia and various ministries on the go. He's one of those guys that just knows everyone, right? And so he's a founding member of Circle Square Ranch. 1985 started that, and also ran a group, horse-assisted ministry, Shiloh Youth Ranch, for many years. And the work they did with you know, essentially kids that couldn't afford to go to camp, they made a way for them, and they blessed them and loved on them. And he's also a representative for the 4 to 14 ministry, and so he can expound more on what that is. But really, it's we want to teach kids young, share the gospel with them young, raise them up in the right way. So I'm always blessed spending time with you, Norm, I appreciate you coming out.
Thank you, Jason. I would like to do a song with you both before I share a little more. Pastor Emery is here this morning. I was surprised to see him. I don't see him. Yeah, there he is. All right. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation to come and share with your folk today. And it is a privilege to be here, that is for sure. Before I forget, it's been a delight to get to know Jenny Lee, who manages Thrive. I see Kat is here, Owen is here. I also had seen Peter earlier, and there was someone else. Ashley, right. Okay, praise God. We're plugged in here. All right. Do we have some sound on that system? This is an old tune from my childhood days, and I have a feeling you'll easily pick it up. Try to learn it with me. It's a song of welcome to the Lord and prayer. Walk with me.
this will work for the handheld or that one?
This one. Okay.
Thank God. My wife is with me this morning. Joanne is right up here at the front. And I don't know when my daughter and son-in-law have been where I've been last teaching or preaching, and they're here. They've moved from Edmonton recently. Hallelujah, big cheer. I'm so glad they've come to the Okanagan. I have a song that I'm not going to sing, but I'll just give you the first line. It goes, the Okanagan might not be heaven, but it must be on the way. You like it? All right. Okay. There's a few things along the road of life that God blesses us with, and they are touches of heaven because He wants to bless His children always. Put things in our life that come from, or I should say, David, the psalmist, expressed so well when he said, He leads me by still waters, green pastures. And right in the presence of the hate of Satan, I'm paraphrasing now, right in the presence of the hate of Satan and all the demons of hell, He just spreads the table for me. And He provides for me. So I kind of feel like the Okanagan experience. I started out in Saskatchewan, lived, I've forgotten how many years, grew up in Saskatchewan, lived there, ministered there, pastored there, church planted there, started a ranch for kids there. And then we moved to Edmonton, and it wasn't long after being in Edmonton, doing some pastoral ministry again, starting some new things, and helped start a church, children's ministry in Edmonton. But then God began to speak to my heart about the roughest, toughest, neglected kids of the city, and that we should start a ranch dedicated for them, which we did. And then a lot of years we've traveled and did itinerant ministry. I've been overseas to a number of nations. Often came, I should say rather annually, came to Rutland, where my cousin Ted pastors the Embassy Church. And in one of those series of meetings there on an annual basis, I was challenged by a number of those folk over at Rutland to come and start a ranch in Kelowna. And I thought, well, I'd like to live in Kelowna. That would be fun. But it was right in the time that my late wife was struggling with cancer. And so that was a no-go. You kind of just put all that on the back shelf. But as the years have gone by, she's gone on to be with the Lord. And I moved here and married the queen of the Okanagan, my wife. And so here we are. Praise God. We are blessed, and I'm thanking God for His provision of blessing in every way. The 414 window is probably up there. If you're wondering what that is, you will understand it, I'm sure, before I'm done in the next few minutes. But I'll start off by saying this. The 414 window is not geographical, but it is. What is it, sweetheart? Demographical. There we go. Thanks, Joni. That means that refers to an age group between the ages of 4 to 14. The scripture was read this morning. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In the Hebrew, the training referred to here, interpreted in English, train, means to touch the palate of a baby. And what the Hebrew, the secret they understood, the Hebrew mothers understood, if they took foods that that baby needed to learn to eat as it got older, they would take their finger and put that food on the tip of their finger, put it up under there, let it touch their tongue, touch their palate, let the baby taste it. They weren't ready for eating yet, but they were training. And so if they're going to have in that day, I don't know how many varieties of food they would have, but the mothers knew what foods were going to make them strong and healthy, give them good nutrition, and they trained their babies by introducing them to foods by touching the palate. And the lesson is, when that baby gets used to that taste, when it comes time to eat on its own, it's going to be fine. It's going to eat those foods. And when it eats those foods as a child, it'll keep eating them. And it may grow to be very elderly and never stop eating. That's the lesson. And they also knew the same truth. It's in Scripture, applies to the spirit and the soul. Touch the child with spiritual things very young. Touch the child with spiritual things, the love of God, the truth of God. Back then it was Old Testament. Touch them with these truths very young. I have a feeling that I like to sing because my mother was always singing. I can remember as a little boy, if I was in the house, even sometimes outside with her in the garden, Mom would be singing praise and worship songs all the time. And I have a feeling that I got trained before I was born to like gospel music. I can hear her. Why wouldn't I love it when I was born and begin to grow? Naturally, it was there. My mother's love for Jesus, her tenderness of heart for the Lord was instilled deep in my heart. And I couldn't think of living any other way as I began to make my own choices. I just had that desire. I wanted Jesus. I wanted the Father's love. I wanted to understand who God was. I wanted to know. And as I look back, wow. Talk about privilege. 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 That my spiritual palate was touched as a little one. Let me switch back to the physical now. I don't know if every North American child faces this, but I think we do. Did any of us hate sugar or ice cream or candy the first time we tasted it? No. Most of us tasted it very young. Ooh, it was virtually instantly addictive. And we wanted sugar! Sugar, man! Mother never ever told me that I was a good boy when I ate my ice cream. Wow, what a strong, good boy you are. You ate all that ice cream. Every trip to town. Can I get some ice cream, please, Mom? She never said, oh, wow, you're a good boy. You want ice cream. But she did tell me I was a good boy when I ate my spinach, the peas, the turnips. Ugh. That was awful stuff. I determined that, my wife and I determined that we would try to do better with our kids. And I don't know if we did, but I do know this. My daughter knows how to eat right. And sometimes she sets me straight. And my son is the same. I can remember Carrie struggling with peas. But she conquered it. She conquered it. And both those kids would eat salad when they were little, and I'd think, wow, Dad's getting an example set for himself. Eat your greens. Why? Because it's good for us. Now I want to jump to a statement, and I want you to absorb this. Satan's main battle cry in North America is, just leave them alone. Let them grow up. They'll make their own choice. And sad to say, most of the body of Christ has fallen for that line. It's very, very seldom you drive into a church parking lot now and see school buses outside waiting to take children to ministry places. Very seldom. I can remember my first position as an associate pastor in Edmonton. It was 1977. And that church, which I was called to minister to the youth especially, also help in the children's ministry, they were running 19 school buses Sunday morning. Up to 1,000 kids were brought together. It was probably a sanctuary a little bigger than this, a large downstairs. They'd fill it up and then take them to rented schools to minister to them as well. And then sometimes we'd have big Saturdays and we'd bring 1,000 kids together and minister to them. There's no school buses there now. They got too expensive to operate. The insurance was too high. The restrictions were too many. So we dropped it out and adopted. Just let them make their own choices as they get older. Now I'm going to give you some stunning stats. The 4 to 14 window, again, is the age from 4 to 14. Research that was global and intensive 10 to 15 years ago, 12 to 15 years ago, showed us that around the earth, community to community, city after city, country after country, 70% of all positive responses to Christ came from the age of 4 to 14. These are staggering figures. 70% between the age of 4 to 14 of total responses to Christ. Now I want to just drop to you a couple of things from my own experience. Starting Circle Square Ranch in 1985, that's already what, 30? Is that 36 years ago? Or is it more than that? 30, whatever it is. It must be. It's over 30, that's for sure. And then the one in Edmonton, we discovered that 98% of all children 10 and younger positively responded to Christ without any manipulation, coercion. They just wanted Jesus. When they heard about Jesus, they wanted Jesus. And that's what I see in the next passage of Scripture I'm going to go to in a moment, in Matthew. 98%, easily. I'm probably a little, it should be more like 99%, I think. But I'll leave it at that. And then the next age group will go from 11 to 15. We probably saw 80%, maybe 90 on the average. But after 15, or after 14, it starts to drop off. And the stats show, after the age of, or I should say, before 18, 15 to 18, there is still a very large response. But now let's go to the sobering, sad truth. Here it is. The studies reveal that if someone does not hear the gospel before the age of 32, after 32 and up, does anyone want to guess who hasn't heard? What is the response rate of that adult group, 32 or older? Someone just, if you haven't, if you've never heard what it is, I'd like you to just take a shot at it. What is it? Anyone? Someone said 10%. Anybody else? I heard something. 12%, it's less than 2%. Do you think that our Heavenly Father, in His wisdom, was telling us it may be a good thing to train the palate of the child? He knows what He's talking about. Over and over, I've heard adults say, yeah, you had a couple hundred kids come to Christ this summer. Over the years, there's been thousands, because if I look at both those ranches that we were privileged to get going, it's been thousands. And often, Joni has heard it too. But where are those kids? What's happened to them? I don't keep track of them all, but this I want to tell you now. Without seed, get this, without seed, does anybody grow a garden without seeds? How about an orchard? Will it grow without seeds? Whether they're planted on purpose or whether they fall from a tree, is there any plant that grows without a seed? Can't happen. And so children are the most fertile soil on earth when it comes to people. Wouldn't it be the wisdom of God for us to plant the seed of the truth of God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, of the Father's undying love, of His unconditional love, the blood of Jesus, the truth of eternity? Plant it young. The younger, the better. Can we do this? Will you folk respond okay? How many here this morning heard about Jesus? Maybe not a whole full disclosure of the gospel, but how many of us here this morning heard about Jesus before you were 10 years old? Can I see your hand? All right. Almost everybody before the age of 15. Okay. Anyone here this morning who never heard about Jesus until you were 32 or more? Nobody. I just see little Quinn going like this. But you know what? I know she's already heard. And she was just moving her arm. She wasn't responding to my call. So that's what I see, and I've been asking this question into church congregations, large and small, all over the place. In itinerant ministry, I've asked it at camps, I've asked it in Bible colleges, I've asked it when we've been training young people for summer of service with ranches and camp ministry. It's always the same. I've asked it to a number of times to a fairly large group of pastors. How many of you heard the gospel? I was talking to pastors. How many of you heard the gospel before the age of 10? And every time I've asked it to a group of pastors, you know what it is? It's 100% before the age of 10. See, God's word is true. God's never mocked. We sow what we reap, what we sow. We reap what we sow. I smile almost every time because Joni and I have the privilege of working with the men at Teen Challenge. And so many of them, we have the privilege of just getting some moments alone. And I'd like to hear their story. Almost 100% of the time, they say, I was told this as a child. Or grandma took me to church and I heard about Jesus. Almost everyone. And we smile because we say, ah, there was the seed. And although they haven't walked with the Lord real strong, seed was put there. And the time came in life when there was trouble. And they knew what name to call on, who to turn to, who could help, who could change, who could meet their need. Matthew 18, verses 1 to 3, 1 to 5 have been read. I want to point something out to you because the disciples were there. And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you who the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is. Have you seen that? And then he talked about the children. And it doesn't end there. There's quite a few verses here referring to the children. But Jesus said, these are the greatest among you. These are the greatest among you. And I'm sure he had quite a few reasons, which I don't have time to study with you this morning, why he said that. But certainly one of them would be when they hear about Jesus, when they see Jesus in you, when they sense his spirit, which they're very, very in tune to. That's easy for them. It's no problem. Their brain hasn't been trained yet to doubt and unbelief. They haven't gotten skeptical. And they receive. And Jesus said to the adults, if you don't take this same position of faith and humility, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Powerful words. Jesus gave us the insights. And if you look right through from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see the emphasis that God puts on moms and dads teaching and training their children. And I guess my observance would be probably now for about 50 years, we have moved away from child evangelism. I'm talking generally speaking, not every congregation and other ministries God has raised up to help reach children. But generally speaking, we've moved away from child evangelism for 50 years. And now I'm going to cover the whole, I'm going to bring in the whole spectrum of Christian faith in this country. Because I can remember as a child, Catholic friends that went to summer catechism and summer camps. I remember the Lutherans. I remember the United Church kids. I remember the Methodist kids. I remember the Apostolic kids. I remember the Pentecostal kids. I remember the non-denominational kids. We were all on the same page. We were all getting trained to know God and love Jesus. And then very, very subtly, we adopted Satan's battle cry. Just leave them alone. They'll make their choice when they get older. That's a lie that was birthed in the heart of Satan. It's just a total lie. I mean, it's an absolute lie. Because the fact is, if the palate of the Spirit does not get touched in childhood, every year that goes by, that life is less likely to ever respond to the truth about Jesus. Jenny Lee, we thank you. She's an old Circle Square attendee as well, and I meet these precious people all over the country. They keep popping up. You were at Circle Square. And sometimes they come and they share a powerful testimony with me of, like I had a cousin that I didn't even know was my cousin. She came to camp for a week in Saskatchewan. And she never made a commitment. She was just watching, enjoying the camp, but never really responding. But the last night, on a Friday night, I asked the kids, as the very last song we did at campfire, it seemed like every teenager during that camp had responded to Christ, but unknown to me, she had not. And then I asked them if they would learn this song with me and make it their commitment and take it home with them in their heart. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And that precious young lady, I think she was 13. She said, I decided standing there, I was going to not only learn the song, I was going to make the commitment. That's the last thing I did at the ranch before I left. I didn't see her for many years. And the next time I saw her, she was grown and married and had a couple of children. And she came running up to me because she'd brought her kids to Circle Square Ranch. She said, do you remember me? And I couldn't remember her. She told me who she was. And she told me about how she committed to Christ as we sang that song. And she said, now I've been teaching in a Christian school. My husband loves the Lord. My kids are following Jesus. The last time I saw her, she was a youth pastor in Saskatoon. And those stories go on and on and on. And these precious kids that are coming, and we're partnering with you. We're partnering with Thrive. We're partnering with Teen Challenge and making Love Reigns, where we've got some horses, a place where kids can come. And kids love horses. And they come, and we can use the horses as an instrument to help touch their lives with the truth of God, the love of Jesus. So it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege that we have in sharing with them. It's not like having them overnight and keeping them all week. And sometimes I wonder, what am I doing? I was wondering this just the other day. I'm 72 years old. Isn't it time I just put my feet up and let the world go by and let the kids go to hell? No. Still something. There's still something I can do. I started writing when I was 3, and I didn't realize that God was putting in my heart something that would be an instrument that would reach thousands of kids. So here we are in Kelowna, and the challenge of my pastor cousin and some of his leaders over there, that must have happened 15, 16 years ago. They said, come to Kelowna and start a ranch here. Joni and I looked at different ways after I shared that vision with her after we were married. And she said, you have to do something about this. And then when we visited with Teen Challenge, then they just got some property. And now it's history. They said, yeah, we're open to that. And Joni and I started to take the trees out. We took out 200 trees, cleaned up tons and tons and tons of junk. Kat and Owen have been there a few times to help us and moved rocks and sticks. And I don't know what all you guys have done, but they've seen we're getting near the end of all that kind of stuff. We need to do more building, and that's coming. But what a joy to partner with Thrive. And Jason connected, as he said, generally with us. And here we are, there's men that come, and we use the horses as an instrument with them. A women's center is to be built. The horses will be a tool again. But now that factor that is so vitally important is that we can touch the community and be a partner with Mountain View. I don't take it lightly. It's powerful because we're touching the greatest people on earth. If you've never thought of that way before, please look again at Matthew 18. See who Jesus was referring to. He said, these are the greatest. Unless we become like them in humility and simple faith,
we can't enter. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have time this morning. Maybe we'll get invited back to pester you again and maybe share some insightful stories. But I have so many, and many of them I get to share some of them this summer with the kids. But very, very powerful stories of the intervention of God in the lives of children, changing their hearts. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are so thankful that somebody touched us with your truth and love. You brought us to yourself, made us your own. And Father, as our Father, you were proud to do so. We've been adopted in through the blood of Jesus to the family of God. We have the privilege of living in the kingdom of God here on this earth, knowing that we also have the kingdom of heaven, which is another location when this body is done. And so we'll never be separated from you, Lord, and we're thankful, Father, that you've redeemed us. But this morning we want to respond to your word as Peter wrote it. And he said it was not the will of God that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should hear, that all should know. So, Father, together in partnership of ministries this morning, we thank you for Mountain View. We thank you for Thrive. We thank you for Teen Challenge. And, Lord, we ask that you'll keep working in our hearts. Help us to believe you for more lives, many, many more lives to be touched. That changes their lives, changes the complexion of this city and nation. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We love you and praise you and bless you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for letting me share with you today. Thank you again, Pastor Emery. Pastor, I'd like you to come back and close when rather than